Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, people. Hello, hello, hello. This is JT, and it's 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. You know what time it is. I'm the co-host of No Chaser, and the host is Mac Williams. And let's bring him in right now. What's up, Mac?
What's up? What's up? What's up, everybody? I am here. How's your week been?
Oh, not bad, man. Not bad. I had a little relaxing in the early part, and the end part of it was like hectic, like any end of the week business is hectic.
That's usually how it goes. When you think it's just when you think it's easy, it's not.
Not
so,
right.
But at least you're not crying about it like the Redskins have been crying all week. This is the No Chaser show. We're going to dig right in on that because I dislike them even more after this last week. I mean, it just don't make no sense, man. And I knew it was going to happen. You know, after Sunday, I knew. I said, oh, man, I'm going to see how bad it's going to be. And it got pretty bad. I mean, on ESPN 980, they had a former head of officials on ESPN 980 at like 8 in the morning. First thing in the morning, had him on there.
Okay.
Asking questions about the refs and, you know, making calls and this and that. I'm like, how can you cry? This is what I don't understand. How can you, as a football team or as a fan, cry about refs? You know, let me make one point. First of all, every ref, all these refs are not on one game. They're all over. These replacement refs are at every game. Everybody has to deal with them. Everybody, all of them miss calls. All of them seem like they're either terrible, get it wrong, miss something, don't see something, whatever. Deal with it. I understand you don't like it, but here's the biggest pet peeve I have. How can you cry about the refs and the calls in that game when clearly the biggest play of the game that went the biggest miss of the game went in your favor? They actually took 6 points off the board. I don't know if anybody else saw that game, but Steven Jackson clearly went across the end zone.
I saw that.
And they did not give it to him, just ignored it. Nobody reviewed it. And then gave him a 10 or 15-yard penalty for spiking the ball in the end zone, which wasn't supposed to be a flag. And
you don't think that was supposed to be a flag, because anytime you spike a ball and it's in the field of play.
They said that from what was explained to me is in the rule book, it says you can spike the ball only in the end zone. You are not supposed to spike it in the field of play. It was in the end zone.
They
gave him a 15. But I'm going to tell you why they – I know why they gave him the 15-yard penalty. I know why they gave him the penalty. I know why. It was because they felt like he was showing them up, because he was mad because they didn't give him the call. But the fact of the matter is, if I, it don't matter unless I cuss you out or throw the ball at your dude. If I spike that ball as if I was spiking it in the end zone, and I thought I had it. You can't flag me for that. But in either case, how can you come out of this game crying about the refs when you clearly got 6 points taken off the board? That really the game would have been further along. You would have got beat by more had they ruled like they were supposed to, went back up and reviewed that, and gave him the 6 points. It was a whole different game, because if I'm not mistaken, that was to tie the game, was it not?
I'm not sure, Mac. I think you're probably right, yeah.
So my problem is that how can you cry about the refs when clearly the biggest play of the game went in your favor? You know, and then Robert Griffin III. Go ahead.
You think that was the biggest play of the game, or the biggest play of the game when Josh Morgan caught that pass?
What I'm saying is the biggest mistake in the game to me that went in their favor. That's what I'm saying. When you take six points, went in their favor. Right, I'm saying went in their favor. How can you cry? They just took away 6 points, potential seven, from your team. So how can you get mad and then cry about the refs when clearly the biggest play of the game, I mean, the 15-yard penalty didn't add up to a game. They actually took a score off the board. You know, when you compare the two, I know Josh Morgan's was a heavy play, and he deserved it. Threw the ball at the guy. And the thing about it is, I'm pretty sure, unless Josh Morgan's living under a rock, that you should know when you play against Finnegan, he's going to try to get under your skin. You either going to, any guy, like somebody told me, any guy that, what's your guy name from
Andre Johnson.
When Andre Johnson, a guy as quiet as him, gets up and beats the hell out you and tries to take your head off, you got to be a pretty irritating guy. You got to be pretty bad. Because Andre Johnson don't get in a fight every week. And he ain't the type of person to run his mouth. He just plays the game and that's it. But we know Finnegan gets into trouble all the time because of his mouth and because he tries to agitate, get under your skin, and tries to make you do something stupid. This guy fell for it. And those are the reasons why I really was disappointed, because I thought the Redskins, you know, I understand you say, you know, hey, they missed some calls. You know, they got to get better. That's cool. But when you go through a whole week of blaming the refs for it, and then terrible Redskin fans, that's how terrible they are, you out here tweeting and sending the guy death threats? Are you serious?
Yeah, that's crazy.
Are you serious?
I couldn't believe that.
Over one game? Dude, it's the second game. You know what, Jerry? Even though it's wrong, I could understand if you did it and it was a playoff game. It was to get into the Super Bowl, or it was a playoff game to advance. I might understand. Mm-hmm. I understand the heatedness. It's wrong either way, and I don't approve of it. But even if they did it, then I could have said, you know what? Hey, you know, people's tempers run high. You know, people are mad. You know, football, is a little more. It's an emotional sport for a lot of people. You know, things like that. That's cool. But when you do that off the second game of the year. Like, you don't have 14 more to go? Like, are you serious?
I just said,
you know, Redskins fans, I put it on Facebook. I said, you Redskins fans are terrible. You're horrible. You guys are the lowest. You're going to give death threats to a guy who made one mistake in a heat of a moment? And I'm not saying he was right in what he did, but I can certainly understand it. So it's not like he just hauled off and hit the dude for no reason. The guy did what he did. But you know, like you said, like we all say in sports, it's the second guy that always gets caught. It's never the first one.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, to me, I just say, like I said, I'm just disappointed. You know, Redskins fans are crying about it, but it's typical. You know, they never take responsibility for their team. They never say, you know what, they were the better team, they beat us. Because, you know, I gave an example of when we play basketball. If you know you got terrible refs, you know you need to run the score. You need to have a 25-30-point lead. You need to keep that lead. You need to keep working. Because if you ever leave it in the hands of a ref, you're going to get it. In this case, they didn't leave it in the hands of the ref, but it was close. That play would have meant nothing had y'all scored when you went down there every time, if you hadn't made the mistakes or dropped balls or things of that nature. And, you know, like I said, they just disappointed me. And what made me laugh even more is that Robert Griffin III jumped in with it. You know, and the whole, they hit me hard, they bruised me, they tried to be dirty. You call a team dirty, that's pretty strong language to call a team dirty. But
And cheap shots and all that. I mean, like we were talking off air, this is your second game in the league, my man, my young man. What gives you the right to talk like that in the first place?
Yeah.
And then you're making yourself a target because
even more.
Guys are going to make exception of that and say, oh, yeah, well, take this. So,
right.
I mean.
And like I told you off the air, you can't be celebrated. And I'll be honest with you, it's not his fault. But when you come in with a pedigree that he does, with the hype that he has, and you have not done anything in the league, and you're coming in, and then you've had a record-breaking first week. Well, what do you think? Well, what do you think? The guys who already don't like you because you're coming in, you come. Think about it. You're coming in with ads already. You got
right.
ads up the yin yang. You got Adidas ads. You got Subway. You pitching everything from lemonade to panties. And
right.
And you haven't even played on the field yet. I mean, this guy had ads before he even plays one game. Then you have a
yep.
record-breaking game. So then all the analysts and all the people who talk about him the whole week before that and praise the guy, talk about they think he was actually Jesus in, as a black man that came in and just threw the ball. And you think that guys aren't going to take exception to that? You think guys ain't got no feelings? You think guys ain't got no dude? I've been down here for you think defensive guys and stuff like that said I've been here for 12 years or 8 years or 9 years and I ain't got what you got and you walk in here and you ain't done nothing? Like I told you off air, it's the LeBron effect. I think that every athlete from here on out will always, when you come in with a lot of hype and a lot of stuff that's heaped upon your plate before you get it, I think every player is going to have criticism and is going to have it on the court, you know, as they are. Just like, to be honest with you, we were talking about Jeremy Lin. Jeremy Lin the same way. When Jeremy Lin had all that hype for a while and was doing it on these teams, not that they weren't good teams, but when he got to the ones that were better defensive teams and they made up their mind, you ain't going to do it on us. And they took exception with it and they went after him. Not to say they tried to hurt him, but I'm saying they just determined we're not going to let you do that to us. And that's how athletes are. They're not going to hear you talk like that and not be chippy when you get in, when you come in. And,
right.
you know, I think the one flaw he did this week is that I think he would have been better served to shut up, say, man, you know what, it was a great game, we failed, you know, we're going back to the drawing board, we're going to do our thing, it's cool. Because now what you've done with his performance last week, the flopping all over like a fish, every time you got pushed, you flopping on the ground, because there was flops in there, trust me. The one on the sideline they gave a 15-yard to, that guy pushed him clearly inbounds, and when he went out, he flipped and flopped all over the floor, hit the guy, and they gave it to him. So for me, all you've done now is let everybody know in the NFL that it bothers you, that if we hit you hard or whatever, it will bother you. You'll start crying and fussing about it, and you'll call us dirty, and now you're making yourself, like you said, a bigger target. You know, but you got to grow up, man. You can't. This is football, man. This is a man's sport. This ain't tiddlywinks or no tunk game. This is football. You know, so.
Right.
You know, I've been on with Redskin fans all day. You know, and
I want to ask you this.
Sure.
And I just got to see what the history is. It's been like the last few weeks that you've been getting on Redskin fans. Mm-hmm. What exactly is your dislike for Redskins fans? Why is there an ongoing feud and Redskins fans?
Because they're never humble. They're arrogant. They're bombastic. They're in your face, and they overhype and underachieve. They haven't done anything since the 80s. And they just act like they're just like they're doo-doo don't stink. Like they're the greatest things ever. I mean, it irritates me to no end when they win something, and as soon as they win, they say the same stupid line. We're going to the Super Bowl. Like, shut up. Like, be humble. Like, just take it one game at a time. I'm a guy who's had a team that's never won a Super Bowl. One championship, never won a Super Bowl. Of course, everybody
right.
says there's a difference. I say there's really not. Because if you tell me just because it's this day and age and we didn't play for a championship, doesn't mean anything. But anyway, I digress. My thing is, with my Lions, I don't run around telling everybody, screw you, your team sucks, my team's better. I never say my team's going to the Super Bowl. I never say my – now, maybe that's a product of the fact of growing up since I was a kid and all my life not winning or coming close or failing. But I learned over the years by the time I was a teenager, I learned to say, you know what, let's just see. I'm not going to overpromise and underachieve. I'm not trying to act like my team's better than anybody else's. You know, I'm humble. Even when people call me and say, man, you know, Megatron is this and Matthew Stafford's this and y'all going to do this and this, I say, you know, we'll see. You know, I don't trust, you know, I'll say openly, I don't trust the Lions to win certain games. Just like last week, you know, I didn't pick the Lions to beat Frisco. Why? I'm not going to be a phony. I'm a fan. Of course I want my team to win. If I had been wrong, I would have lived with being wrong. But I want my team to win. But when I look at X's and O's, I'm real about my team. If I know you playing X's and O's and you can't beat this team, I'm not going to sit there and say, yeah, they're going to beat them. Yet I get, you know, my wife gets on me, and some of my other friends get on me and say, you ain't got no loyalty to your team. And I'm like, what are you talking about? I said, there's loyalty and then there's realism. If I was betting money on the Lions in that game last week, I would have never bet no money on the Lions on them. I'm not a dummy. I'm not trying to give up no dough. I'm gonna go for something for sure. I would have bet with Fresco. Now that has nothing to do with my loyalty, because if I bet some money with Frisco and I lost that money and the Lions won, I'd be happy. I'd be ecstatic. In fact,
I hear you.
Yeah. So for me, mm-hmm. you know, I just don't like Redskins fans because they're not humble. They're just not humble.
Okay.
They just don't sit back, shut up, and just take your win and just progress. See how they go. You know, but it's always in your face. You know, F y'all, Cowboys suck, Cowboys stink, da da da. Then as soon as the you know, Cowboys and Giants win or something happening, when they lose, they do the same thing they accuse the Dallas and the Giants fan of doing. Y'all making excuses. Yeah, but y'all make excuses. Look what y'all did a whole week. Y'all blamed it on the refs. Like, what is that about? So, you know, that's pretty much my disdain. They just act like their doo-doo don't stink. They act like as soon as they win, we're going to the Super Bowl. That irritates the hell out of me. You know, you can't have Kermit the Frog as a quarterback and expect to go and win a game. I mean, that's just...
I don't know if you know about this or not. I just found out about it about an hour ago, mm-hmm. give or take. I don't know if you watched. Did you watch the game last night between the Carolina Panthers and... New York Giants.
No, I didn't watch it, but I did see the result. Well, I did see part of it. I woke up with one eye and saw the score and was like, okay, I'm going back to sleep because they beating the crap out of him. But that was about it for me.
Okay, I'm going to read an article,
mm-hmm.
This guy has a history of doing this from last year. I'm going to read you an article,
mm-hmm.
About what took place in that game.
Mm-hmm.
And I want you to give me a comment on it after I finish the article.
Okay.
Late in the Carolina Panthers' Thursday night 36-7 loss to the New York Giants, quarterback Cam Newton was sitting dejected on the sideline when wide receiver Steve Smith came over and positively ear-holed the second-year star. Smith objected to the fact that Newton's demeanor wasn't appropriate for an NFL starting quarterback, and he made it that clear in no uncertain terms. In Smith's mind, Newton should have acted more like backups Derek Anderson and Jimmy Clausen. This is a quote. I watched D.A. and Jimmy. They don't play in 20-something games last year. That was a quote from Smith, adding that he used some unchoice words in the process. And they get up and they observe and learn and get those mental reps. I told Newton, you can get some mental reps or you can sit on that bench and sulk. Newton had perhaps the worst game of his career, completing just 16 in 30 attempts for 242 yards and 3 interceptions. But that wasn't Smith's problem. As he told the media, it was far more about what Newton was doing on the bench than on the field. This is a quote. Cam Newton has a very unique opportunity to be a franchise quarterback to an organization that needs one. Statistics don't lie. Athletic quarterbacks, they either excel or they fail. And I told Cam that. This is an opportunity for him to learn. At that time, they were benching him. And observe, they put Derek Anderson in. You can sit there. If this is the worst it's going to get, you're in for a long day. And this is not what it's about.
Mm-hmm.
This isn't the first time Newton's teammates have taken issue with his demeanor when things go wrong. Last December, and that's what I was telling you, last December, mm-hmm. he was told by Panthers offensive lineman Jordan Gross and Ryan Khalil that he needed to keep his head up when situations aren't perfect. They always get on me. This is a quote from Cam Newton. I have a bad tendency of showing my emotions on my face. I have to change it, and I'm trying to change it, but those guys constantly stay in my ear saying you got to be that same leader from the first quarter to the last quarter. It may be mindful. It can be somewhat of a detrimental conduct to the team. If you're mad, if you're ticked off, not saying that everybody else is not feeling the same way you are, but at the quarterback position, you have to stay even keeled. So Steve Smith, who I really like as a player, he's about my height, give or take, and I really like him as a player. He's got a heart like a lion, only 5'9", and he can play balls to the wall. Got in Cam Newton's ear, full blown, no chaser, full blown. What do you think about what I just read?
What I think about what you just read is basically Cam gives a damn. And if I were Cam, you know, I certainly wouldn't show the emotion. I'm the type of guy who I've always thought it was funny. I always thought it was I never like guys who cry when they lose. I hate the whole thing when I see the college players crying when they lose and stuff like that. I just don't believe that a game is that serious that I cry. I can be mad, I'll be pissed off, ready to tear something up, but I just never felt that emotion to just, oh man, I gotta cry. You know, that's just me. But for me, I want a guy that gives a damn. I might go to him and say, you know, yeah, you need to pick your head up. Come on, man, let's stay in the game. Let's keep your head up, blah, blah, blah. That's cool. But I wouldn't be mad at him because I would much rather have him give a damn, be dejected and down about it and mad about it than to sit back and be like, oh, this all right, and take it like it's no big deal and he was selfish and, you know, I'm going to get my stats and that's all I care about and I ain't worried about whether we win or lose. We're the same fans who have criticized basketball players for sitting on the bench laughing at a loss. We're the same people who criticize players when they stand on the sideline in a football game or smile or laugh. You know, and I just think these whole, how should I say it, what do you call it? I just think these traditions of how it's supposed to go all the time or how a guy's supposed to have a demeanor and all that kind of stuff, I don't necessarily buy into it. Now, if he was out there cussing, you know, we're the same people who say, wait a minute. Now, they're the same people who criticize, what's his name? What's the QB for Chicago?
Jay Cutler.
And they say he doesn't care. You've heard it, the criticisms for years. He don't care. He don't have this look on his face. Come on, man. I'm glad the guy cares.
In my opinion, what I got from this article, and he did it last year, and he's doing this year, and we have mm-hmm. Mikel sitting on the line waiting to jump in here.
Mm-hmm. Tell Mikel wait on Kermit.
Anyway, what I'm saying is this: Cam Newton, just like Steve Smith was saying, I understand you having a bad game. I understand mm-hmm. things aren't going right for you, but you still got to stay because you're the leader of this team. You're the quarterback. You're the big man on the block. You got to set the example. You can't be putting your head down and sulking within yourself. To me, that's a selfish move. When you got to keep your head up and stay in the game. They may have benched you because you're playing bad. That doesn't mean you're disconnected from the game and your rest of your team. You got to mm-hmm. get up, stand on your 2 feet like a man, and look at what's happening on the field, and be able to get some type of knowledge, mental reps, just like he was saying. Looking at what's going on the field versus being disconnected from the rest of the team and sagging with a towel over your head and your head down. That's a bad sign for a starting quarterback.
Okay.
Especially, in my opinion, especially when he had a bad game. Let me bring in Mikel, see what he has to say here.
Do you remember the first night of December? What's up, fam?
Oh, you damn fool, you. Oh, Lord have mercy.
Yo, were y'all talking about Cam?
Cam.
I understand what you're saying, Jerry, just before Mikel gets started with the whole Frog Love Fest. I'm just saying that I understand what you're saying, and I agree with the fact that you have to work with him and get on him, and that's not a good thing. But I'll take a guy who's down and teach him as he, because he's young, and you teach him and bring him along, and that one day he probably won't do that. But at the same time, I'd rather have that, a guy who wears his emotions on his sleeves and gives a damn, I'm telling you, as a basketball coach, as a guy who coaches players who have egos, negativity, and nonsense, I would rather have a guy that gives a damn than a guy that don't, and a guy who's just selfish. And I don't think it's selfish to care. Now, you may say the act of being mad about it is selfish. I don't see it as selfish. I see it as a teaching moment. I see it as a guy wants to do well. And I saw that. Now, I did see the press conference after and heard what he said, and I liked it even more because I was like, at least he says, I do care. I was embarrassed. He said, just as Steve Smith got up here and said, he was embarrassed. It was an embarrassing loss. So for me,
right,
I'd rather a guy get up there and say that. I mean, if it takes yelling at him or teaching him or the veterans, that's what they're there for. Okay, they're doing their job. But to say that's a bad sign, well, at least he's on a team where the veterans are saying, hey, look, Cam, you can't do that. You got to pick your head up. And I can live with that, but I'd rather have a guy that cares than a guy who we criticize Jay Cutler. Jay Cutler got the most driest looks on his face. It don't matter what happens. You can't have it both ways. You can't say, I want a guy who holds his head up and does this, and then when the other guys do it and you feel they're not caring, then you say they don't care. But then when you got a guy who cares, you say, well, it's selfish because he does care. And it's like, no, you gotta balance the two. You got to give him a shot. You got to give him a shot. And I understand what you're saying, and you're right. But I don't think it's something to yell and scream about or be mad about or be angry about. It's something you need to go to Cam and say, hey, Cam, look, and that's what coaches are for. Hey, Cam, look, when the games get out, you got to get a different demeanor. You got to, you know, be hard-nosed and get more determined as you do it as opposed to this other way. And that's going to take time because everybody ain't going to change. You ain't going to change years worth of demeanor. He's obviously, this ain't the first time, and obviously he was doing this in high school, he's doing this in college, he was doing this in elementary school, he played peewee football. You never know. It takes a while to change that, and
right,
you just have to work with it. So,
all right, let's bring McCallum here and see what he has to say.
I just think Cam needs a mentor with him, you know. This is his sophomore season, you know, and he's gonna have some bumps in the road, you know, and his bumps is gonna be bigger than, you know, others have. I mean, because the youngin just busted on the scene with a whole bunch of exuberance and energy that we all partook in, you know what I mean? And this is just, you know, the backlash of it, you know, because he's a young man, you know what I mean? I'm not upset at him. I get it. You know, what are you like, 24, 23? He a baby.
Yeah, right.
You know what I mean? And he got
right, the
keys to that franchise and whatnot. So, no, I ain't too mad with him. He just need to, you know, take his licks, lick his wounds.
If that's the least you got to worry about in this day and age with football players or starting quarterbacks,
no doubt.
Shoot, you doing
no
good.
Doubt.
Shoot, that's all
yeah,
I got to worry about. If he cares too much, please.
Yeah.
I take that
he
all
just,
day long.
Yeah, he just got to learn how to, you know, put up the little, you know, the defense facade or whatever. When you're losing, like Jerry said, he do need to be standing up and into the game or whatever. You know what I mean? But you can take it in the locker room and take it in your car or take it in the men's room or something. Take it somewhere else. You know, take it to church or something. But you don't want to have it played out on the national stage. But you know, he don't know no better. He's learning this as he's going. And as far as Chicago is concerned, we need the real JC in Chicago to step up, please. The real JC. Yes. Yes.
I mean, I think you're getting the real JC, but he gonna get his head blasted if he keep
on. We're not getting the real JC. The real JC is the backup quarterback.
Yeah,
Jason Campbell.
Yes, sir.
Oh,
yes, sir.
Okay. He's there?
Jason Campbell.
Oh, yeah.
Is
oh,
it
yeah.
Chicago?
Yes.
Oh, I
yes,
didn't know
sir.
That.
Jason Campbell's a backup in Chicago. Yes, he is.
Yes,
he's
sir.
Right behind Jay Cutler?
Right behind Jay Cutler. And I'm going to tell you right now, if Jay Cutler get hurt or he have another 5 or 6 pick game and they throw Jason in there, it won't, he, God will not come back.
He might not.
He will not go back.
I hope not, because I hope one thing Jason's learned through the thing with the Redskins is, hey, bro, you better get out there and push on that gas and take that job because ain't nobody going to give it to you.
Nah.
I root for Jason Campbell because he's been through a lot. He's been through
a lot. And I really think he got a raw deal. A lot of Redskin fans were upset about that. So, you know, I said on the show, I think yesterday. Dang, the day's just going past so far. But, they definitely gave him a raw deal, and they had to come up with a big splash with RG3 for us to even think about forgiving him about Jason, because that was just terrible. That was just horrible. And then for him to go out to the Raiders and really, I thought he lit it up. I thought he out of home there, but they went out and got another bum. So, you know, I don't know. But, yeah, Chicago, please don't fret. Soon as Jason gets in there, it will be his team. Yes.
I think his own teammates going to beat the hell out of him in the locker room. I wouldn't be surprised. Because I'm going to tell you, he got away with that joint. Because I'm going to tell you, if I had been that big fat black dude, that lineman that he had been cussing out and hollering at on national TV as I was going to the sideline, I'd have took all that suspension. I took the suspension, the deduct out of my check. That dude would have been a rag doll all over that damn field. And when I got done, I walked straight down the tunnel and went to the locker room. I'd have told him. I bet you he'd have never yelled at me again. I would have told him, and I'd do it again if you do it again. I'll take that again. That's just crazy, man. You can't yell at your lineman like that.
Well, check this out. In the same week, quite naturally in a different game,
mm-hmm.
Chicago was playing, I'm trying to think, Chicago. No, in the same game. That was in the same game. In the same game, Jay Cutler gets in his lineman's neck when they're playing in Chicago. I mean, when they're
mm-hmm.
playing Green Bay. That's what happened,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And he pushed the lineman, for one, when he came on the sidelines. He yelled at him first as he was coming to the sidelines.
He was laughing
when he got to he was yelling at him when he got mm-hmm. to the sidelines. He pushed him. And if you look at the lineman's face, he laughed like, I don't know what the kind of laugh it was. It was a nervous laugh, or he was trying to play him off, or he thought it was
mm-hmm.
funny that his quarterback pushed
mm-hmm.
him.
Mm-hmm.
But in the same game,
I thought mm-hmm.
on the opposite side,
mm-hmm.
Aaron Rodgers
mm-hmm.
threw a pass, I think got it intercepted,
mm-hmm.
by Chicago, and
mm-hmm.
it was James Jones that ran the wrong route or broke it off or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And as Aaron Rodgers was coming to the sideline, he walked up to James Jones, and, I mean, it was on national TV. Both these instances were
mm-hmm.
on national TV,
mm-hmm.
and he was ripping. You could say he was ripping the hell out of him,
mm-hmm.
And it was plain to see. But only one got covered. Only one was really blown up. I don't know if it was just because of the shove, but only
mm-hmm.
one was blown up compared to Aaron Rodgers ripping
mm-hmm.
James Jones a new butt. So,
mm-hmm.
What do you guys think about that?
It's called I Won a Super Bowl, You Done Nothing.
Right.
And I've earned your respect.
Right.
I showed you I am the man. I have full control of my team. I'm not arrogant, egotistical. I'm not hated by my players, by my own teammates. And I have shown myself to be there in the trenches with y'all, and I go to war with y'all. When you got a guy who is arrogant, talks about his arm strength, he's supposed to be the second coming of Christ, and he's so good. And we've seen all those articles and all the stuff. Cutler's always had shenanigans everywhere. That's why he can't stay nowhere for more than 3-4 years. I mean, and then it's just a matter of respect. You know, that's basic. That, you know, to be honest with you, that's management 101 in a business. I was a general manager, for a restaurant. But
mm-hmm.
the reason why I could say things to my staff that most other I would go to meetings and managers would say, how come you can get so much out of your people, and you don't have to yell and scream and cuss them out, or, you know, even when you do, they listen to you, because people came and visited my store because we was breaking records. And one of the things I told him, I said, the difference is that when I've been to you guys' store, and they, of course, they didn't like it, but you know me, I'm no chaser no matter what. I said, you guys, when I come to your stores, y'all say stuff, but you ain't doing nothing, but you not doing nothing. You tell when the store is packed and you got a line out the door, you not up front taking the cash and setting the orders and sending the orders back. You not out there in the fray, in the trenches with these guys. All you doing is giving orders, and then you sitting in the back sipping on soda and ain't doing nothing. I said,
right.
People don't respect that. They respect you when I'm in the trenches, you in the trenches. The leader's out here, he going to get shot just like I get shot. He going to get cussed out just like I get cussed out. When you do that, I said, then your team earns your respect because they're willing to help you because when they see you in trouble, they're going to come help you. You know, and with Jay Cutler, he doesn't have the respect of his he doesn't have the respect of his teammates. That's the difference.
Okay.
Aaron Rodgers can go say that because guess what dude going to say? Okay, you're right. I broke it off. I didn't do it. He knows his playbook. How often, you know, and the same thing with them. The quarterbacks are leaders. But you gotta have what do they call that? What do they call that, Mikhail? Presence? You gotta have a presence in the huddle.
Yeah,
you gotta know who's the boss.
It really boils down to you know, being a master of your craft.
Mm-hmm.
That is it. You know, the best leaders are masters at their craft.
Yeah.
You know, and you can see it. It's no denying it. It's not just talent. It's talent plus work ethic, period. You know, and people respect that. People see it. Real people see it and real people understand it. You know, Aaron Rodgers is a master. He has mastered that position right there in Green Bay. That is his playbook. It's the same playbook that they won a Super Bowl with, that he was the MVP. It was the same playbook that he mastered when he became the MVP of the NFL. So, I mean, he basically was upset, and he corrected him. It was a big difference. Jay Cutler is not a master. He is not a master of his craft. He is not a master of his craft, nor does he have the respect of his offensive line.
Yep.
You know, I have a good friend of mine that is a diehard Chicago Bears fan, good young
right.
brother.
Right.
On his Facebook page on Wednesday, he had a picture of it was a two-shot picture. The first picture was a picture of what everybody else sees on the field, and it's and you see Green Bay, the defense, and then you see the offense on the other side, you know, just a straight football field shot. The next
right.
picture was a picture of what Jay Cutler sees, and it was absent all of the offensive line, just all defensive linemen, no, maybe one or two wide receivers, and that's it. It was hilarious. To me, it was hilarious. It highlighted at one point this man has not mastered, one, his craft, and two, he hasn't mastered how to deal with the same people that are there helping him, that'll help him become, you know, and still maintain being a master, period.
Okay.
Right. I mean, he's right. It's just a matter of respect. That's all. One gets away with it, one does it. If Tom Brady did it, nobody would say a word. Been through the battle.
Tom Brady
true.
Do it all the time.
No,
Tom
I'm just,
Brady,
but I,
Tom
right, you're
Brady
right.
do it. Tom
no.
Brady do it when they
at least
up
the game.
When they up 51-7 on the team. He'd be
yep.
on the sidelines digging in somebody's ass all
right.
the time.
Right. Right. And that's what that comes with. And that's why I said that even though that goes back to your point about Cam Newton. That's why guys, even though they get mad and they say that stuff publicly, that's all they saying is they're not saying they don't want him not to care. They just want him to cover up and not let people know that it's bothering him. But they don't have a problem with the fact that he wears his emotions on his sleeve and that he cares. I know they don't. If you catch any one of them off camera, they'll tell you, I don't care about that. Just don't want you to show it because you're a leader. And we don't want that
right.
team thinking they got you like that. So that I understand.
Right.
But I just didn't want to – but I know the media tried to tie because I saw the little debate today on First Take where they were talking about what do you think. And I was saying, I agree with what they were saying is that, you know, I'd rather a guy care than not care. Then I can at least work with you. you know, as opposed to a guy who just don't care. You know, it's just
mm-hmm.
it's kind of crazy. You know what I'm saying? So
sure.
You know, I understand that. So now
yeah,
let me ask. Huh? Go ahead.
The only point I was making is that Steve Smith jumped in his ear because the
right.
fact is he was
right.
sulking rather than not that he didn't care, but he was sulking too much. You can care and still be into the game, and he was deflecting the game and just worried about sulking. Because he cared that much, I understand that. But he needed to focus on the big picture versus just focusing on himself.
Right, exactly. So I you know, like I said, I understand that. Only thing I want to ask Mikhail something. Mikhail, so tell me, what do you think about your boys crying all week about that damn refs and about losing that game? Just as a fan, I just want you to be fair, because one thing I do respect about you.
I mean,
why did you lose that game?
Well, the first thing is I don't really accept the premise that you're putting out there that they was crying and whining. I mean, it's a fact. Some of the things that you – it was a fact. It's a fact. You know, we had
okay.
replacement refs, and there were
mm-hmm.
a lot
and
of
everybody
bad calls.
Has them.
And
right.
and yeah, and the game was totally,
mm-hmm.
you know, lost out of control.
But,
you know, we played the game. We ain't taking nothing from the Rams. They won. You know what I'm saying? We lost.
Were they
we
the
lost
better team?
Because we lost. No, they weren't the better team. We lost because we shot ourselves in the foot. We lost because we shot ourselves in the foot.
Okay.
Yes, we did.
Okay.
Yes,
well,
let me
ask you this point.
Make sure you get your premise correct.
Everybody, okay. the reason why I call it, let me tell you why I call it crime. And I won't say you, so I'll take you out of it. But most of the Redskins fans on Facebook and people I was talking to were crying. And they all blamed the ref. And I told them, like I told Jerry here before you got on, I told him, when we play basketball and we know that we got some bad refs, first thing I tell my team is you need to run the score up. You need to not BS and play around. At the end of the game, we don't want these terrible refs to have no control over this. We want to be so far ahead, or at least far enough ahead, that these calls will not bother us, and we need to keep attacking and doing it.
We had numerous opportunities to win this game. You know, there was
okay.
a drop ball by Aljack Robinson. You know what I mean? With
he's
on, you know, I wasn't really sold on him, but he is probably a better than Armstrong was. But there was a drop pass there. There was plenty of plays where they, you know, where we had a shot. You know what I mean? But for me to sit here and say that the Rams was a better team? No. We missed our opportunities. We took our shots, and there was opportunities that we missed.
So let me ask
and
you a
the
question.
And the game was chippy. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I think
that
was on purpose.
That.
I think that was on purpose, and I credit that to Mr. Fisher trying to get in at the composure at the rookie, which is what you should do as a you know as a defensive minded coach.
But let me ask you
this: it didn't rattle the rookie, but it rattled someone.
It didn't rattle the rookie?
No. It didn't rattle.
Okay. So when he came out this week and called them dirty and said they were taking shots on him, it didn't rattle.
Well, Mac, you know what? If
I'm
you want to just take – well, Mac, if you just want to highlight one word, you really need to go over the whole transcript of what he said. Everything he said was he really broke down everything. He was like, yo, I'm not taking anything from the Rams. Do I think it was
right.
dirty? Yeah, I think it was a little dirty.
Okay,
compared to the game last week
right.
against the Saints, yeah, it was unprofessional.
Okay.
The young
all
man
right.
was answering the question
but
and
let
being
me ask you
honest.
This. Now let me ask you this. Now I want to see what you're going to say about this. Now, do you or do you not agree that when you are Robert Griffin III, hailed as the next coming of Jesus Christ at quarterback, You have marketing ads and stuff before you even play a game. Not saying it's bad, and you're hyped. Then you have this great game this first week, this record-breaking game, and you're being praised all week and told that You don't think that other players in the league ain't going to take exception to that? You don't think you made your
well, I mean, again, Mac, you know, there's been plenty of interviews, and you can, you know, get on Google and look them up, where Robert Griffin has also stated that, you know, because of who I am, because of, you know the success that I have on the college level and that I'm trying to bring into the NFL, there will be people that come at me, and there will be people that will level different hits on me. I'm ready for it. You know, they can do what they got to do, but it's not going to stop me from doing what I need to do on the field. Period.
Good. Then I don't ever want to hear him again during the game crying to the refs
See, Mac, this is the thing that you can't have. You can't sit here and say you don't want to hear him when you just acknowledged that the young man has a platform from which to speak on. You just acknowledged that. You know that, right?
No.
You just said that.
Let me correct myself. He does have a lily pad to cry on. Yes, he does.
He has a lily pad to cry on.
I'm sorry. He does have a green platform.
It's green.
But as we go on, all I'm saying is he should be like you said. Cam should be. Just be quiet. Let him know it bother you and keep going. Cause I'm gonna tell you, he gonna get more. He gonna get it. He might get it tomorrow. He's going to learn how to play around it, and I think he will.
I don't think he has a big learning curve like Cam does.
No.
I think this youngin is, you know, taking it as it's going, period.
Right.
That's the way it's going.
Well, I got a question here, okay? Me and Mac were talking about this earlier. Mm-hmm. Second game into the season, Mac, you know where I'm going with this. Second game into the season, and he's calling out players that are cheap shotting them. That to me,
did he say any names?
Well, no, he doesn't have to say any names. I mean, he doesn't have to say any. He just called out the whole team when they say
right,
cheap
said
shots.
They were dirty. They're taking cheap shots.
And you know, I like Robert Griffin III, but I may be old school, but if you're only the second game into the season, you can't be talking like that. You haven't earned enough stripes to be talking like that.
I get what you're saying, Jerry, but you on the surface like Mac. That's surface. You really need to check out the transcript and see the context the way he said what he said, and it was in response to a question.
Mm-hmm.
Let me put it this way:
these guys are I would say media savvy, but for the most part, especially the high profile players, they're taught what to say, when to say it, and not when not to say something. When you come blatantly out and tell them they're taking cheap shots, and that's exactly out of his words, they were taking cheap shots. You've only been in the league two games. You can't be saying that.
But you're parsing one part of the context of what he said.
Wait. He's defending his voice. So let's just say this.
I'm defending him.
It's easy for me to do it with you because you didn't even listen to the whole transcript. I looked at what the Rams said because I looked at the article yesterday.
Hold on, one time. We're not getting anywhere like this.
To make it funny for me, but you know it's all good. I love to debate you anytime, anywhere.
It ain't about debating. I know what he said, so I'm not worried about it. I mean, my opinion hasn't changed. He's crying. Because to me, if I was getting busted down like that, I wouldn't say nothing. Second game in, it's 14 more games. you know, just like I think that, you know, Redskins are some cruddy fans for doing death threats. That's idiotic. That's stupid.
Yeah,
it's two games.
I was really surprised about that. I was really surprised about that.
And to be honest with you, I didn't really hear
about that. But back to Robert, the one thing he said, he started out when
he
said
he left away from
the
his
one
fans
thing,
he
the one thing, the one thing he said when he started out, he said, "I'm not taking anything from the Rams. We lost the game." That's exactly what he said. But there was some cheap shots. There was some dirty shots. That's exactly what he said. And if you did read the transcript and you did hear it and hear it in its entirety, you would have heard that.
Right. Well, like I said, he was crying. He said they get dirty shots. And he said, I know he said the word dirty. And I know and I know that they said they're not dirty. That's what the Rams said, so I know that's what he said. I read the article on it. He said they were dirty. You shouldn't say you're dirty, and you should just play. It's 2 weeks. It's the second week of the thing, man. You're going to get cracked. You're going to get hit. It's freaking football.
And think about it. He's a big name. He's coming with all this hoopla.
James effect.
Exactly. So everybody's going to want to take a shot and say, let me see how big and bad you are. So they're going to take their best shot and maybe give them a little bit more than their best shot to see how he's going to react to it.
And especially after you had a good week. And again,
Jerry, just last week he was saying that he recognizes that and, you know, he's game for it. So bring it on.
Good.
Right. He said, bring it on. You know,
we'll see.
I mean, he said that people will be coming at him because of, you know, who he is and what you know, the things that he's accomplished and stuff. But, you know, it's nothing he could do about that. All he could do is come out there, practice, and play the game.
Right.
Because we're all
like
men. And also he said, we're not whiners. We're all men here.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
Exactly. Exactly.
Right. But
you picked out the word dirty, though, right? Yeah, okay.
It's still whining. You complaining. It wasn't
a complaint. No, that wasn't whining. That wasn't whining, Slim.
Okay, we'll call
that
it complaining.
That wasn't whining, Slim.
We'll call it
that
complaint.
That wasn't whining.
Okay.
I mean, you could call it what you want, but you know
it
what I'm saying?
It wasn't a compliment.
You could call it what you want.
He was whining.
You know what I'm saying? Because that's your opinion. But the fact of the matter is,
he called him dirty. He was complaining. That's whining.
No, it wasn't complaining. No, it wasn't whining. No,
yes,
it wasn't. It was the truth. It was a fact.
Yes, it was. Wait till he gets again. He'll be celebrating that too, huh?
So you two can agree to disagree. How's that?
No, we agree to disagree. I ain't worried about Mikhail. We naturally agree to disagree. Mikhail is number one fan of PETA against animals. So I mean, I'm not surprised that he's covering for a frog, his frog or whatever. I can't stand PETA.
You know what I mean? PETA. I still got beef with PETA back with Michael Vick. How about that?
Direct all your mail from PETA to
grownsoulandreal.com. My name is Mikhail. You can reach me at facebook.com/grownsoul. Look for the name Mikhail, executive producer and founder of Grown Soul and Real Talk.
I love Mikhail. I love him.
Mikhail, which one of the three is your favorite Stevie Wonder? I saw you posted those three Stevie Wonders on Facebook. Which one's your favorite?
Stevie Wonders?
Yeah, I'm looking at the Facebook, and you posted three Stevie Wonder YouTube.
I posted three Stevie Wonder what?
Three Stevie Wonders. A Grown Soul Real Talk, Stevie Wonders. Three YouTubes, I guess they are.
Uh-huh.
Did you do that?
Nah, my partner doing that now. It's his time now.
Okay.
He's running the board now.
No problem.
Lord, have mercy.
No problem.
I posted the September joint, because today is the 21st day of September. Do you remember?
Oh, man, he is a fool. Oh, my God, y'all. It's too
funny.
I had to break it up.
Come on, Mac.
Oh, Lord. That was funny. No, it'll never get. You know what? Mikhail probably got me one time really heated. But other than that, Mikhail is hilarious, man. I like jousting with him. That dude is hilarious, man. That's my dude. And when he come, I know I gotta have my A game. I'm like, I gotta be ready. Because if I come, you come in there lazy, Mikhail mess around and eat you up and spit you out. You be sitting there talking about what the hell just happened, and hang up the phone. You be like, what? That's why I left. That's part of the reason why I left politics alone. I was like, I ain't debating no more. I said, because
you
Mikhail,
ain't look. You know what?
I said, because
Mac, you need to stop that because I see the things you post on Facebook.
No.
So
but I don't debate.
You haven't stopped yet.
No. I post and then I leave it alone. Actually, to be honest with you, this week I have unfriended 3 people just because they keep coming at it. I'm like, Slim, I'm not debating it. Like, get off my page. Like, stop trying to sucker me in. And they keep on. You know, and all of them do the same thing. They all go, I'm going to keep saying what I'm saying. Okay, go ahead. I'm not going to keep hearing it.
Yeah, they're
going to
keep
this.
Mac, I'm going to tell you something. They're going to keep saying what they're saying.
I don't
mind. They're going to always do. You know,
but Mikhail, the difference is you, let me tell you the difference. You, Vic, Jerry, y'all put stuff on my page, you say it. We might go back and forth for a minute, and you leave it alone. The difference is, let me tell you what the difference is. The difference is your motive to do it is because you are getting a point across. You're really saying what you feel. These people are doing it just to start something. They're doing it to get under my skin.
I know. What I'm trying to explain to you is I understand where you're coming from.
Oh, okay.
Because I got about 1,500 dudes coming at me every day, looking, waiting to see what I say on my page every
mm-hmm.
day.
Oh,
every
yeah.
day. And they be waiting to go in on me. And they be waiting to go in on me. Yes. Yes.
No,
that's
why
I'm so good at this. But you know what I do? I give them, I say what I say, I make my point, and then invite them to come to the show. Hey, Wednesday. You know what I'm saying? The mic is always open. I'm
right.
willing to go battle them one-on-one and
right.
debate them one-on-one, but they
right.
don't never call in the show. They
no.
just want to do it right there on Facebook.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Drop whatever agenda, whatever nonsense they're talking.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, because,
yeah.
I mean, Mac, I wouldn't believe some of the stuff that some of these
some
of the stuff they be coming with is just ridiculous, and it just be so wild to me. And then when I don't put up with it, you know, I get into it with the other administrators on my page, and we be getting into it. So it don't stop. But the one thing you have to always do is just stay in your ground.
But you know what it is? I'm just a different kind of cat. I like to joust, but at a certain point, I go, all right, I'm done with this. Because now it's getting into nonsense. When it starts getting into nonsense or it gets into where I feel like your motive is, because I've seen people, like I said, certain people will do it because they want to debate it. They really believe what they're saying. But
mm-hmm.
when I say we agree not to disagree or whatever, they're cool mm-hmm. with it. They're like, all right, you know what, you good. I understand that. I respect you, blah, 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 boom. But I'm getting into where people are coming on and I say something and then it's like, I mean, I actually had a guy tell me, yeah, you be trying to get the last word. I'm not going to let you get the last word in. When he said that, I was like, what the hell is this? This ain't about the last word. Like, Slim, like, are you lunching? So I was like, you know what? You can have the last word. He was like, you're not gonna get away. I said, no, I'm not. I said, he was like, that's all right. He was like, since you're going to be soft about it, we won't have to say nothing about it. I said, no, we won't. I said, watch this. Unfriended him. And then my friends were laughing because I came back on the page. And you know what I did, Mikhail? I'm going to tell you how stupid I am. I said, hello, hello? I said, I can't hear you. I can't see your post. Where are
Mac,
you? And
Mac,
dude was like, man, you are an idiot. I was like,
Mac, I just went through that maybe Wednesday. No, Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
Tuesday I went through the same thing.
Yeah.
There's a gentleman on my page that likes to really give a lot of information about, you know, politics, government, and stuff like that. But reading through his information, his agenda is to get you to not do anything. You know, his whole premise is that, you know, the government don't work, you know what I'm saying, your vote don't count, blah, blah, blah. And it's a lot of factual information for you to go through that mm-hmm. you know, that substantiates
mm-hmm.
that,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So he's been doing it for, like, about the past 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
So we posted up something about the Mitt Romney taping
mm-hmm.
or whatever,
mm-hmm.
and I came on there mm-hmm. and I said, I gave my opinion on it. And then,
mm-hmm.
you know, he really hadn't been going, you know, going back and forth with me, but he chose to put my name in his post and to
mm-hmm.
inform me of some information that I already knew about
right.
and that I already discredited. So I came back and said, please keep my name out your mouth, you know what I mean, because, you know,
right.
I'm not unenlightened. I do my own research, you know
right.
what I'm saying? I'm a well-read man, well-versed man, and
right.
I don't need this type of stuff.
Right.
So please, you know, please don't try to enlighten me with your nonsense. So immediately his eloquent writing style went from eloquence to ignorance.
Yeah.
Yeah, it went straight to ignorance
yeah.
real quick, real quick. And then he
yeah.
was like, so let me check my calendar for the next time you have your cycle, and you can consider us excommunicado. I was like, excommunicado, huh?
Oh, you're a good one, because immediately
I'd
have been like, unfriend. Your ass would have been like, yeah.
Look,
I said, I
came right back and said, well, let me know if you're ready or if you're done. And he said, ready for what? I said, ready for me to keep up my end of us being excommunicado. He was like, oh, good, you can go ahead and do that. So I banned him, right, and
mm-hmm.
came back and was like, what's going on? Where you at?
Oh my God.
So
it's
look,
so funny.
I had about 20 people inbox me, was like, why did you ban him? Blah blah blah. He gives good information and da 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 da. I was like, well, I gave the motherfucker a choice.
Right.
I gave him
right.
a choice.
Right.
I gave him a choice.
Cause
you know
he chose
to take the blue pill.
I don't mind, that's what I'm saying. I don't mind debate, but when it gets
exactly.
to the point where you start taking it personal, it's like, Slim, I'm not trying to go there with that. For me, I probably, like Jerry's right. I will post things, and I'll talk to certain people, but I don't go back and forth with people that I either think you're going for some nonsense. I'll go back and forth with you. I'll show you some stuff. But when you come at me with some nonsense, and like you said, when it starts to become ignorant, then I'm like, okay, your motive is not to learn. Your motive is not because you believe. Now what it is you're pissed off at me because you don't like my opinions. You don't like what I'm putting on here about, quote, unquote, your president or whatever you think. And so now you're going to attack me personally, or you're going to try to get under my skin or try to say
exactly.
stupid nonsense.
And that's the thing that I don't like. That's when I unfriended.
That's why I unfriended him. And that's why I went to, you know what, I didn't really feel like debating because it takes even with me and you going back and forth, you make me think. When me and Jerry talk about something, it makes me think. I like to
mm-hmm.
think. I like to go, okay, even though I don't agree with your opinion, hey, you know what? That's a good point. And I don't see it your way, but you know what? That's a good point. Because
right.
it's not personal. But these guys,
no,
I'm going to be honest with you, in 46 years of me living, I have never, ever, 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 in the time that I've been aware of politics, English, whatever, this is the nastiest presidential election I've ever seen. And I thought some other ones was nasty. This is not, this one here is personal and it's divisive, and I don't like it because I think people can, there's a lot of discourse that ain't cool, and I ain't blaming nobody on no side or nothing. I'm just saying, I'm talking about individual people, just people on the street. It's ridiculous. I've never seen it before. And all I can say is, you know, I'm willing to debate anybody, but when it becomes personal, I got to get you off my page. Because at that point, you're invading,
right.
as far as I'm concerned, you're invading my space. I mean, I heard a guy come at me about, you know, being a Christian. You know, Christians need to stop doing, and I knew he was talking to me, and I went back and was like, dude, I run this, I didn't say it to him, but I was like, dude, I run my page. I say what I want to say. Now, for me, what I found successful is, and I piss people off, of course, with this, is that I've told people that, which is the truth, is that I vote by my Bible. I had a guy debate me on that. God told me capitalism is of God. By the time I showed him, he got through. He got up off that. He got up off my page. Because I just like, don't come and tell me that, because like I told everybody before, don't come. The one thing about me, you might be able to say a lot of things about me. I might not be able to find a lot of things, but I can find some scriptures. Scripturally, I tell everybody, I'm like a machine gun. I know them, and I know where to find them, and I know how to dig up, and I know how to research it. I know my Bible, and I know what I believe. So a lot of people come and say a lot of nonsense on it, especially when they go into God. It's like, oh, that's the easy area. That's like, you know, what's your man name? Alex, give me Bible for 50. You know, give me Bible for 1,000. I take that whole joint right there. That's that. I blow dude out the water with that one. Leave that one alone. But you know, and a guy, you know, had the nerve to sit and tell me that, you know, capitalism wasn't of God, and how can you vote for this and this? I said, well, and I made it simple the other day, and I said, look, I said, I'm gonna make it real simple for you. A guy said, you know, all this different stuff. I said, look, I ain't gonna be distracted. I'm gonna tell you like this. I said, as a man of God, a Christian, I make my mistakes. I ain't perfect. Whatever, whatever. You know, the guy was like, well, how can you be a Christian? I said, look, I ain't getting into all that. If you just accept Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, and be saved, and that was it, you was perfect, I said, there would be no need for church. There'd be no need for a Bible, and God wouldn't be repeating things over and over in the same book, over and over in each chapter about certain things. Okay, he knew he was going to be mistaken. He knew he was going to make mistakes, so I don't want to hear that. So I told him, I said, but as a man of God, here's the thing I take seriously. I have to vote according to my Bible. I can't vote for a person who stands up for same-sex marriage. I can't vote for a person, who believes in redistributing wealth because God don't believe in it. I said, I can't vote for those things. I said, so that automatically takes Obama out of it because he's personally said these are the things he believes in. Now, I don't hate the guy, and to be honest with you, like I told Jerry, and Jerry will sit here and vouch for me, I told Jerry, liberals and Democrats have a very good heart. I never tell them they are bad people as far as they want to help everybody. They want to help the poor. And so do I. And so do, I don't think anybody is in the world, unless you're a selfish, ignorant bastard, would say, I don't want to help nobody, and I don't hope everybody dies. I mean, nobody's like that. The only difference between Republican and Democrat and independent or anything else is the way we go about it. That's it. I had some ignorant dude tell me he was a Republican, and he voted for, and he said I'm a Republican, but I vote for Obama. I told him, I said, I'm done with you. There's no more talking to you, because you sound stupid. You're a Republican and you're voting for Obama. Make sense of that. You know, it's just crazy. But for me, like I said, I vote. My Bible, Mikhail. I vote my Bible, Jerry, and that's what that's when it all comes down to it. That's where I really go to there. And
you know what though? You know what though? The whole thing about that dude I was talking about, he was arguing about not voting, and he was arguing about not voting, to vote, and there's a lot of people that had that sentiment on my page, and I was just like, you know
you
what?
Kidding me?
I'm voting.
Most of these people are first time voters?
Jerry, this coming here and having a debate with Matt is refreshing. Because a lot of times I gotta fight the fact to get to push people into voting and to highlighting why to vote, why you should vote, why to take part in it. And I'm going to tell you, they have some very, very, very strong and sharp positions on why they won't.
Right.
Very sharp and strong.
Most of them are
fighting them joints and debating them joints, I'm telling you, would drive you crazy. The one thing that I will never do in any debate, I won't call nobody names, and I don't like anybody, you know, straight calling me names. You know, I'll take your words, parse them up, and you can parse up mine, and I go back at you with certain things,
mm-hmm.
with facts
mm-hmm.
and stuff like
mm-hmm.
that. I'll do that all day.
Right.
But if you sit up in there and you're going to call me a sheep because I'm choosing to vote you know, my conscience, you know what I'm saying? Because I'm independent. I'm not Democrat or Republican.
I'm independent, too.
Because I don't like either party.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But I'm a sheep. Nah, I'm not a sheep. You on my platform that, you know, I bust my ass to create, and you up here spewing off this nonsense. You had to get the fuck up out of there. You had to get
right.
up out of there.
Yep.
I was sick
mm-hmm.
of that stuff. I was
yep.
sick of it.
Well, I'm sick of the whole thing about them calling people sheep, because I told them, I said, actually, you the sheep. I said, because you sitting here arguing for a man, even I can admit there are things that Mitt Romney's done wrong. Even I can admit that Mitt Romney wasn't my first choice when all of them were trying to be the nominee. I didn't like Mitt Romney, and I thought he was too soft. That's just me. But at the same time, when it all comes down to it, but I'm not going to be, to me, a sheep is somebody who you voting for somebody and you can't even admit that this person's ever wrong. You can't, you always try to make everything they do great. To me, keep it real. Like I said,
his premise was
right.
that we're all sheep because we're voting, because it doesn't matter, because it both parties highlight the need for government and have the government dictating to us and or governing all our affairs. That is his premise. That's his whole premise.
Well, that's a sheep right there.
Exactly.
I mean, he believes that. Well, you
just
believe the government should just do.
So you just gonna sit there on the sidelines and not do nothing? Hey, look,
and then
you know
complain.
What? I might not have a lot of money to donate, but I donated what I could. You know what I'm
right.
saying? And then when
right.
I get out here and vote, I'm voting for the one that I feel that I can more align with. I can't align with everything, but I can more align with
right.
who I'm voting for.
Right. And that's why I said I can debate with people who make sense, people who have convictions and can back them up. I can't talk to people who just sit and tell me stuff like I have idiots who send me videos and stuff, and you're sending me the stuff as if it's fact. And the very people who are in the video, I know both their names and I know who they are. I'm like, they're left wing. Like, why are you sending me this? Like, dude, send me something from .gov. Like, send me something that's like some real research. Stop sending me films that some dude who doesn't like Mitt Romney is filming and then present it to me like it proves a fact. Like, stop doing that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you're going to come at
exactly.
me, come at me with some.
And I'm trying to tell you, man, there's so many. I get so many of them jokes all the time.
Now, Jerry, now you finally get it. And that's why, Jerry, I post what I post on there and then I leave it
right.
alone. I post and
okay.
I go. I might get somebody who say something, but you notice I go back and forth with some. But some people I just won't entertain. Some people
I ain't like that, Jerry. I'm a loud
like,
of their ass. What I'm saying is
I battle because I give you a chance. Or if it's somebody I know, yeah. But every now and then I get this new person who, you know, I got 400, almost 500 friends. So some people I forget. And the guy will just say something. I'm like, who the hell is this dude? You know, and then I give him a chance. But then once he starts saying the ignorant stuff, like, you know, then I'll be like, oh, nah, you got to go. Nah, because you ain't doing nothing here, but you just trying to do egos, negativity, and nonsense. I ain't with all that. If you trying to learn something, I'm trying to learn something. It's like, Jerry, you trying to teach somebody how to do 4 + 4 = 8. If they keep giving you every answer and they don't understand it, at some point, Jerry, you're going to say, you know what, I can't talk to you. You got to go talk to somebody else and they got to teach you. That's why even though I will say this, since we on the subject, and I'm going to give Jerry a chance. Jerry, I just want to point something out. What Mitt Romney said in that broken tape, that secret tape, was it not the stuff that I've already said? Somebody told me you've never said that before. I said, I told Jerry that on the radio show. I told him, did I not give you those same facts, Jerry?
Yeah, you did give me the same facts. But
thank you.
But
No, that's not. I'm not going into were they right or
right.
not. It's the, mm-hmm. the facts that he stated are right. I can go on. You can go on GAO. You can go on. You can see it.
Yeah, I know.
Every country doesn't. So what I'm saying to you is I was already saying that stuff, which I was, to be honest with you, I was surprised Mitt Romney said that stuff.
Well,
I didn't think he had the balls enough to say it. I didn't think he knew.
And if you recall, I had, this is something I had told you. I had told you the problem I have is I think Mitt Romney, because of his economical status, it doesn't have a dose of what's really going on. He's isolated because of of his economical status, and that's the basically what's been said about him because of the fact he made that statement.
I think he should have said. I think he should have clarified it more. What he said. I think there were a few words in there he used that could be construed and twisted. But I agree. I don't see anything wrong with what he said, and I think what he said was right. But because I said the same thing. I can't. It's the same thing as what me and you and Mikhail are talking about. I can't worry about. I'm not going to sit and debate people who already got their mind made up. You already for Obama, then you for Obama. It's time for us to debate no more. Because you're not trying to learn anything anymore. You don't care. You want the government to give you everything. So there are some of my friends who they want the government to give them everything. And I'm like, okay, cool. But
and then you know what, Jerry? Too, you know when I would love for him to come out and say it. It would just put a big, beautiful smile on my face. Maybe 10 years ago. Or maybe even 10 years ago, he could win the election with that type of rhetoric.
Yeah.
Today he cannot. He will lose. He signifies the total loss on this election with that rhetoric.
I will say this. I think if he had started out this with that rhetoric and started out with it and backed it up with the facts and backed it up with what was going on, he could have. Because let's be honest, I'm 46.
No,
I'm going to say it's easy. I'm 46 years old, and ever since I've been growing up from Detroit all the way to here, and all the experience I've been through, I have always known people, and I can only speak for black people, and I know Jerry's not going to like it, but I've always
known people.
I have always known people, our people, who have always getting something from the government for nothing, and they're able-bodied, and they're abusing it, and they don't need it.
But to liberals
and people on the left, they don't believe that.
But the thing that you keep missing and that the Republicans keep missing and also Romney keeps missing, this country has changed.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, maybe 10 years ago, that rhetoric would have flew. You know what I mean? And he would have won, no doubt. No doubt in my mind. But today, it's a totally different ball game. He will not win with that. He ultimately signified his loss with that rhetoric, which is one, why he won't speak it out in public, and two, why he had to come back and clarify and try to clean it up.
Well, he didn't back off the statement. He never said none of it was true. He just said, I could have said it more. I could have should have said it better. But I don't think what he said, but like I said, here's my thing. I agree with what, okay, if you say that he won't get voted in, he won't get vote win because of what he said, because you can't say that now, I'm okay with that. I agree with you. I might agree with you. But guess what?
It's not that he can't say it. It still needs to be said.
And that's the problem I'm having. I'm not debating if it should or shouldn't be said.
Honestly, I would love for him to come out and say it.
Because I know the electorate has totally changed.
Right. The electorate is totally changed. The game is totally changed.
Well, we're a country that wants the government to give him everything. Right.
Mm-hmm.
You can't. But I'm saying we're in a different culture. You're right, because this is the first time in I've ever seen our country this dependent on government. I mean, I've never seen people who, I mean, it's changed. I mean, Jerry can probably attest to this. When I was growing up, when I was coming up in the 70s, it was get your stuff. You worked hard. You did your, I mean, my mother taught me. My mother sold Avon and sold Shackley and sold some other stuff to make ends meet. When she was a single mother with me, you know, as a kid. So, I mean, I've learned to work hard for my mother, watch my mother as a single mother. You know, I watched my mother never take government stuff, none of that stuff. I've never seen my mother do it. I just watched my mother do it. So I grew up with that. But nowadays, I mean, I look at the kids. I go to college right now. you know, veterans pay for me to go to college. I go to college and I look at these kids, and you should hear it. I'm in a writing class for written essays. They feel like they owed everything. They owe me. I was supposed to get this for. They, you know, half the class is for Obama because they feel like I need this and I need this and I need that. And I'm going like, damn, y'all ain't even out of the house yet. Like, what the hell do you need? Like, does anybody teach y'all how to earn anything? I mean, y'all can't even, I mean, and watching them read, I'm like, y'all can't even read. Whose fault is that? You know, and I'm just sitting there like, so for me, all I'm saying to you is that I'm just saying this culture is a culture of dependency. I need something. I have a right to it. I have a right to this. I have a right to that. I grew up in a society in the 70s and the 80s where you got up, you went out, you earned, you work hard, you go get it. You go get it yourself. You know, you have talents and abilities. My mother told me, you have talents and abilities that God, and of course, my mother grew up Christian. She told me, God gave you abilities and talents built inside you that you can use to provide for yourself to get there to do it. Pray. Go out there and do your thing and do what you're supposed to do. But if you don't do hard work, God don't back up laziness. And I always learned that. And to be honest with you, I learned that. But this society is totally different. Now they're pushing God out of everything. Nobody wants to hear about God. Nobody wants to talk about God. They don't want God at the football games. They don't want you to pray before or after the football games. You can't have a cross around your neck in a school. You can't. I mean, they're just pushing God out. And it's just nuts. So, yeah, the society, you're absolutely right, Mikhail. I agree with you. It's different. But I still said he won't win. He probably won't win with it. I don't know if Mitt Romney will win or not. But the fact of the matter is, whether he win or he don't, I agree with you. I would wish that people would stop being afraid of losing things and afraid of not having something and just straight up just be honest, you know, and just learn how to speak the truth, even if it costs you. So what? It's the truth. Say it. I can respect you more as a politician if you say what you feel and you don't dance and tiptoe around it, you know?
I would definitely respect him more if he would stop tiptoeing around it, but my glee in him saying it is because, like I said, you know, he has no idea what's going on out here. He has no idea what's going on out here. No clue. You know, because for the past five years, you know what I'm saying, there's a lot of people, you know, working extra harder. You know, just, I'm sorry, working extra hard. You know, and their pay is not matching that. While, right. You know, the upper percentile is making more money, and they've been making more money. They've been making more money over the past 10 years, you know, and the same amount of money that my mother and father made back in the 80s, and mm-hmm. their work ethic, you know what I mean, it's totally different now. It's like, now I got to work two jobs, run maybe two or three businesses, and still mm-hmm. I ain't got, it ain't enough. Mm-hmm. It's not enough. It's not enough, but my kids is looking at me like, "Yo, you want me to you trying to get me ready to do this? Really?"
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
No, I get you, and I understand that. You know, but for me, I just can't. There are a lot of things. There are a lot of philosophies about Obama that he believes that aren't biblical, and I just can't sign, because when you sign on, because this is what I believe as a Christian, when you sign on, when you take your vote and you sign on to a person, you sign on to their agenda and what you think and what they say and what you agree with. And like I said, some of the things that Obama agrees that wants to do and promotes, I can't sign on for that. But at the same time, you know, I, me, myself, like I said, I don't have anything against the guy. I know he wants to do it, but, you know, God don't take away from the rich. He rewards them. The more you make, God rewards you for taking what you have and your creativity and using it, and you get more. He doesn't punish you for being rich. That's not a fundamental right.
We're over, Mikhail.
Oh, my bad. I'm sorry.
Mac, it's almost... It's going 8:25 right now. I don't know how far you want to go, but
Mikhail, it's your fault. No, I'm saying.
I don't know how y'all do these hour shows. My shows be 3 hours.
Man.
3 hours.
The only reason why, you know what, I'll be honest with you, if I was doing politics, we could probably go forever. But I try to go in spurts, especially when y'all come out, like, okay, I'll give him a little spurt today. I can't give him permanent. I'll say, I'll be on there for 5 hours.
Hey, Jerry, could I get my check, please? I got this fool talking about politics again. I need my check.
I forgot about that. Yeah, I heard about Mr.
You tell
Mr. Big Time Listener.
Send my check in the mail.
$5 Yeah.
I need mine in the mail.
I want to congratulate you on that, man. When I heard that, I was like, good Lord have mercy. I was like, good mugger, I don't get that until I have David Aldridge on my damn show. I was like, shoot. I was like, Jerry getting this off just talking about what he talking about. I was like, good Lord. Like, me. I'm going to start calling him listening sheep. Like, freaking sheep. 5,000 sheep. Start calling you Jesus, you goat herder. No, but I appreciate it. Mikhail, you know you always welcome on my show, man. I'm mad because Black ain't here because we supposed to do our football picks. Then you
right.
wasn't here last week. Now you here and Black gone. And then when I want you here, you gone and Black here. I'm like, I'm trying to get some picks in this joint. But I get it, man. So, yeah, I'm going to have to start dipping in on y'all shows and coming in and causing, you know, hectic and mayhem. Like y'all be doing.
Hey, you gotta let me know when you call my show. So I can
no,
I'm
gonna surprise your ass. I ain't letting you get prepared.
No. I wouldn't do that to you. I'm just trying to protect you.
You ain't gotta protect me because because when it's all said and done, I know how to deal with you. I just be like, listen.
You ain't worried about it. Oh, you don't have to worry about me.
Oh, you talking about
the other folks? I'm worried about
the other
folks.
Oh, I ain't worried about them because I just say stuff to irritate
them.
Yeah,
you heard them, Jerry, right?
I heard them. You know why the quickest way to get people like that off your back? All you got to do is say, I vote with my Bible. Everybody runs. They all say the same thing. Where did God come into it?
I don't know. Basically, I think they would say something like this. It's funny how certain people talk about the division of church and state, but then when they talk about voting, it's no difference between church and state.
And you know what I would say? And you know what I say to them? I don't believe in separation of church and government or church and state. I don't believe in it.
Whoa,
I don't. How can I say I vote by my Bible and say it's not?
So on the first show, Mikhail, Mac and I went back and forth on this because he had made that statement on our first show, and we definitely went back and forth on that.
Here's my thing, Mikhail, for real. If I'm a Christian and I profess to love Jesus Christ, I read my Bible every morning. I pray all the time. I go to church every Sunday. God is the God of my life. If you read that Bible, it's a lifestyle. It is a lifestyle, and I don't take that off when I come into an office. It's with me all the time. When I make my decisions, I have to do it biblically. When I make a wrong decision, I got to own up to that. When I cheat, when I do something wrong, I got to. Because it's a lifestyle.
So you believe in an eye for an eye? You're going to be running around here half blind, Slim?
No, I'm not. That's not what that thing means. That's a parable. But what I'm saying
that's
to you,
parable?
That's a parable. What I'm saying
okay.
to you, no, what I'm
okay.
trying to say to
okay.
you is that, okay, if God says don't, okay, let me ask you something. If God say don't lie, then I should go to my job and lie because, well, we're not in church. I'm in a state, so I'm the president of the United States, and I should lie? You think God's not going to hold me accountable for lying?
God's going to hold you accountable for everything that you
exactly,
do, and that's
exactly.
between
so that's
and that's
why,
between
so,
and that's between you and God.
Right,
you
exactly,
need to make you need
exactly.
to make the decision. You need to make
and
a decision that's best for you.
Right.
You know what
but
I'm
if
saying?
I make,
that's why.
So let me ask
that's
you.
Why
so if
I love,
make a decision,
that's why I love. That's why I love the fact that we live in a country where there's a division in church and state, because I've seen some of these biblical and religious folk. Because I'm not one of those religious folks. Okay. I believe in God, but I'm not into religion. I'm not into religion.
Well, to be honest with you, only man has called different things that we believe in a religion. God never used the word religion in the Bible. Because what it is it's the way you live. It's a lifestyle. It's the way you live all the time. It's not, Christianity to me is not a religion. It's a lifestyle. It's just like Muslim or whatever you believe in, that's fine. That's a lifestyle. Because, and I don't believe there's any separate, I don't believe you give up your beliefs and act different just because if I'm a president and somebody comes to me and says, do you believe in abortion? I say, no, I don't believe in abortion. My Bible, God doesn't believe in abortion. I don't believe in abortion because that's who is the God, is the Lord of my life. Jesus is the Lord of my life. He doesn't believe in it, I don't. Now, you can have a problem with that, but I'm going to stand for what's right because here's the thing. In the end, I got to go before him, not nobody else. Anything, whatever,
right.
Whatever I lose or whatever, I got to go deal with him. And ain't
right.
No state,
you have to
no government going to do anything.
Right. You have to go before him
right.
And nobody else. Just
absolutely.
Like me, you know, I don't feel that abortion is for me or, you know, in my lifestyle. You
okay.
know what I mean? But at the same time, I'm not going to enforce that on someone else. That's their business,
okay.
period. You know what I mean?
But
I'm not going to tell.
Let me jump in on that. And that,
mm-hmm.
that's their business, and they have to settle that with their God when the time comes.
Exactly. Exactly.
No, and I agree with
because
that.
Just like
see,
you
a,
said.
But there's
like
a difference
said,
between.
They have to
but,
go before God
no,
and
I
answer for
that.
What they've done,
I give
just
you
like
that.
I do.
Right. But I give you that. I agree with both of you from the perspective. Let me take it from this perspective of this. Just like a lot of Christians are against the gay lifestyle. I'm against the gay lifestyle, but that has nothing to do with the way I treat you. Because what a lot of Christians get wrong, and yeah, I'm going to talk about my own people. What a lot of Christians get wrong is that they don't read their Bible and they don't understand it. They don't understand it because Jesus never said, God said he doesn't like it. It's an abomination. But he never says in that word, I want you to go out and speak hate against them and hate them. That's not what he said. What Jesus said was, love everyone. Don't judge anybody. And
mm-hmm.
love them and treat them the same. Because what God says, because what God believes in the Bible is that I forgive you your stuff, you free. You can make a free choice. God is all about free choice. He says, I put before you life and death. Choose life. So whatever the choices you make in life, those are your choices. At the end of the life, you have to answer for that. So God never said hate the gay people. If there's not one word in there about hating gay. He said, I don't like it. It's an abomination to me. He says we should not do it as Christians. But that doesn't mean that I go out here and tell everybody, you gay? Ugh, I hate you. Or treat you different or treat you bad. Well, that's not the way it's supposed to go. I can love you. I'm supposed to love everybody. You're supposed to love, which in the same word can be love, respect, whatever, everybody, and treat them all the same. I should treat the gay person just as I would treat my Christian brother. If he
right.
needs something to eat, I should feed him. If he needs a
right.
home, I should help him. I should help them
right.
too. I believe in that. That's what the Bible says. And my people, Christians, get it wrong. And they go out here and they take it too far. So don't think that just because I'm a Christian, I protect them. Because, no, we do some dirty stuff too. Okay?
Hey, Jerry. You gonna have to tell Vic he going to have to double up on that check now. Because we don't get homosexuality, politics, what else? Religion. Yeah, he's going to have to double up on that check.
So I want y'all to understand that what I mean by church and state is I don't believe in my personal life that there's a that whatever my beliefs are, whatever I hold dear to me, the God that I serve, I need to serve. The God says to use. It never says take God out of anything. You include him in everything. If I pray at home, I should pray in my office. That don't mean I have to do it purposely as a spectacle, but what I'm saying is my beliefs should line up with the Lord's, and if the Lord's beliefs are the same, they should. The problem is, and I'll just say this last little part is, the problem with politicians, as in movie stars, as in sports stars, as in everybody else, the problem with this generation is that when people speak the truth, they don't stick to their guns. They apologize and they do it. And why do they do it? Because of fear. Fear always makes you back off something or change something or apologize something that you really believe, but you back off of it. Why? Because you're afraid of losing something. It's either an endorsement for stars or losing this, for president, it's always I might lose an election, I might lose things. And these are the things that hold people. That's why we like people, like you said, Mikhail, that's why we like people that are fresh and honest. That's why the world likes people who like a Governor Christie, who calls somebody an idiot. Or, you know, certain politicians who do things or athletes who are very refreshing and very honest. We're drawn to those people. You know why? Because they say what they say and they don't apologize for it. They say, this is what I believe and I stand on it, and whatever I lose, I lose. And
even if people say I'm complaining and whining, I'm just going to speak my mind.
Well, you can speak your mind, but he's not going to lose nothing by doing it. We just teasing. I mean, I'm just saying he whining, but he ain't going to lose nothing by doing that. But, I mean, I'd rather a person be honest than not be honest. And if you're going, and I, like I said, if you're going to live, if you're going to say, like I said, if I love God, God is in everything that I do. He's a lifestyle. I'm going to do it. And I don't. That's what I mean by I don't believe in the church and state. Now, I don't force my religion on you. That's why it's called witnessing. I witness to you. I tell you what it's about. If you decide to take it, that's fine. If you don't, you don't. I'm not going to hate you for it. I'm not going to treat you any different for it, because then God got a problem with me. Because you're still the person that he created, and he still said you're still supposed to love him. So that's where
Boy,
the Christian
you're feeling it
wrong.
Tonight, ain't you?
I got to,
oh,
man,
yeah.
That's the truth. Because I don't want to get off.
He's feeling it tonight.
Hey, because I don't want Jerry and you to think that what I mean by church and state, what I mean by that is my life don't. If I ever go for public office, I'm going to still hold to my same beliefs. And if it means I lose an election or if it means people hate me. Because Jesus said, when you stick with me and when you do what I do and you follow me, Jesus never said it's going to be easy. Jesus never said people ain't going to hate you, ain't going to despise you, aren't going to abuse you and be mad at you or call you names and stuff. It says it in the Bible. He says they're going to do it for my sake. So you got to buckle up, chin up. Hey, everybody ain't going to like me. So what? But I'm sorry. Jesus done too much for me in my life, and I've seen him do too much. For me to sit around now and be like, I'm scared of y'all or I'm scared of him. Now I think I'm gonna be more scared of losing him than y'all. So I'm gonna go ahead and stay over here on the winning side, the one who's been taking care of me all this time. So it just goes to that point. So, you know, that's what I mean by church and state. I don't believe nobody should push their religion or anything on anybody, but you know, it is what it is. So, you know, that's what I believe, man.
With that being said, can we get out of here now?
Yes, we are. We are out of here. It's Mikhail's fault. We're going to blame it on him. And we'll do it again next week.
Oh, please. I got to ask you this. I'm sorry, Jerry. What did y'all think about the fight? Did anybody see the fight?
The Martinez and
Chavez fight.
No, I did not.
I didn't see it till Saturday.
Oh, y'all got. But I heard
that Chavez almost knocked him out at the end. Toward the end, he almost knocked him out.
No, Chavez beat him. He beat him soundly throughout the fight, all the way up to the 12th round. And when he was, you know, when Martinez was fighting him, he looked like Argentinian. Roy Jones. I mean, he was doing no hands.
No, he is.
He was doing the no hands. He was pot shot.
Yeah.
He was tearing him up the whole fight. But the 12th round, Julio really stepped up and showed that Chavez name and dropped that Bama twice.
Right.
He dropped it twice.
That's what I was saying. I heard that Martinez was winning the whole fight. And they said when he got in the last round, he almost got knocked out. The bell really saved him because they said if he went another round, he'd have got him.
No, he got dropped twice.
Right.
Chavez dropped him twice.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
But he said he had dropped. But didn't he drop Chavez? He didn't drop him, but he beat him pretty bad from what I heard, it was pretty convincing.
Yeah, he beat him badly.
But I knew that was going to happen. And some people came to me and asked me, you know, what about him fighting, you know, Mayweather? And I said, man, look, let me tell you something. So Mayweather's a whole nother animal, man. It'll be a great fight. I said, but to be honest with you, the only person I see right now that's a real legitimate threat to Mayweather, and I shouldn't say this, but I think the only person right now who will probably have a shot of beating him will probably be Canelo. Because Canelo just hits too god doggone hard. And he's wicked. He's wicked with his.
I need to see what Mayweather looking like, you know what I'm saying?
I think Mayweather got everybody fooled because everybody thinks that after that Cotto thing, somebody told me, you know, I think he passed his prime. I said, dude, did you look at the press conference? The press conference.
He is not
said,
past
I
his prime. He lost
I know that.
That's what
they think because they think that because he was on the ropes and he was getting pounded by Cotto. I asked everybody the same thing. I said, but did you look at the post fight press conference? They're like, no, I ain't watched it. I said, if you had watched it, Mayweather said, I could have danced around all night and made it a boring fight and beat him going away.
Exactly.
I didn't because I wanted to give my fans a fight and I wanted to go head to toe to toe and test myself. He said, but I could have made it a boring fight. I said that.
I knew it when I watched the fight. I was like, this man was trying to get some points. He's trying to let people know.
I'm not that guy who can run like that. Right, that I can stand toe to toe with a guy and bang him out. But because I'm going to tell you, if he fights the other guy who beat Chavez, he'll beat him because it'll be a stick and move kind of a fight. That fight will be boring.
I don't even think that he would really want to fight him.
No, I don't think he would. But I'm saying he wouldn't even fight Canelo because I don't think Canelo.
Nah.
I think he would beat Canelo, but I think that he would take a beating in that one. Only way he could beat Canelo is the stick and move. He couldn't stand in front
mm-hmm.
of him. Canelo hit
mm-hmm.
too damn hard. After that last fight, I was like, man, that's crazy.
And that's the thing. That's the thing. What I don't like about some of these Fairweather boxer fans.
Right.
You know, they just want to see somebody stand there and just slug back and forth, and I have no idea of, you know, the sweet science, the sweet boxer science.
Well, not only that,
I think it's selfish.
But I think it's selfish because what people need to realize is at the end of the day, this is that guy's profession, not yours. It's his life, not yours.
Mm-hmm.
So to try to put what you wanted him to do on him, that's not right because Mayweather knows his body better than he. He ain't going in there taking no crazy risks and want to be retarded for the rest of his life. Man wants to get out at an early age and get out and be done. So with that, Jerry, we're out of here, man. I'm sorry. We're out of here, Jerry.
I'm sorry, Jerry. Thanks, though.
No problem, man. I enjoy the conversation. Always enjoy the conversation, especially hearing you two go back and forth. So.
Everybody probably hated when we agree. They're like, damn it, they agree. Man, why can't we get the box of fireworks going on up in here? But,
anyway,
you know,
Mac, you want to take us out of here?
Yeah, man. I want to thank Mikhail and I want to thank you, Jerry. Next week we'll come back. We'll see Sunday how somebody's lily pad turns out, and we'll see if you know what'll be the excuse next Sunday if they lose. So we will see, and we'll have Mikhail on next week. I'm pretty sure he will show up because now I've talked about his friend Mr. Kermity Frog. But until next week, we will see you, and we'll leave you with this quote: "It's not easy being green," from Kermit the Frog. Take us out.
Oh, man.
How many Super Bowls do Detroit have?